A Search for Truth.
All right. Good morning, ladies. How are you? Welcome to the Action Line.
Good morning.
Nice to be here. Awesome. So we got Linda Stevens with us, who is the Master Gardener.
Yes.
And we have Nia Gordon with us, as well as Rachel Painter.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And you ladies are from Lane Agri Park, of course. We're going to talk lawn and garden care today. So if we have anybody wanting to call in, give us a call at 615-893-1450. And, of course, you can always text us. If you want to text us, you can do the same thing at that same number. It'll pull up right in front of me here, and I can ask these wonderful ladies anything and everything lawn and garden care today. Wanted to start off with a really cool event coming up on May 11th, and that's the plant swap. If you talk about that a little bit, that seems like one you were very excited about.
Yes, our plant swap, people have been waiting on it, I'm sure. So the plant swap is on May 11th, and that'll be from 9 a.m. until noon. So you bring your plants and you swap for something else. So it's a really exciting way to just connect our community, our plant community here in Rutherford County. And you don't have to be a master gardener or anything like that. You know, it's open to the public, so just bring your plants. We do have a list of plants that we will not accept. So invasive plants we will not accept. So those are on our website. You can just look it up at rutherford.tennessee.edu. And then you'll see the agriculture tab. Click on that. And then under the master gardeners, you will see a list of plants that we will not accept. We will also not be accepting cans this year. So no canned goods. In the past, people brought canned goods in exchange for a plant, and that left some people without a plant at the end of the day. So we will not be accepting any canned goods this year. So just bring a plant, take another plant home, and you know, maybe you have something that needs to be divided. So divide that out and put it in a pot and bring it, and you can take something exciting home.
It also says no small seedlings. If we could dive into that a little bit, what does that mean exactly?
Well, sometimes we start plants and they're not is established. We start plants from seeds, and it takes a little while for that to happen, and we've had some that have been a little puny looking and not likely to survive. So it's a good idea to leave those at home. In the past, we've taken seeds too, haven't we? And we're not doing that this year. The other thing is, when you put your plant in a pot, you would do well to label it as to what it is, and anything that you know about it, like is it a ground cover, is it going to grow 12 feet tall? Well, I can't think of too many plants that are going to do that other than oak tree, but just whatever you know about the plant that you can share with the people who would be taking that one.
Alrighty, and it also says that they should label the plant and maybe have a little bit of instruction. Is that kind of just whoever you trade with, they know where they're at and what they need to do?
Yes, so like she said, just put the name of the plant if you know it. If you don't know it, go ahead and bring it. Our master gardeners will try to help you identify that. So put the name of the plant, what kind of light conditions it needs, how much water it needs, anything else that you know that can help the new happy owner of this plant to take care of it as well as possible. So, you know, if it flowers, what color is the flower? Is it purple? Is it yellow? Because it might have some buds on it, but you might not know yet. So just some things that would make someone else want to pick it up and take it home.
Excellent. If you could just give us a couple pointers on how to transport these plants. Can you just dig them up and stick them in a bucket? Do they need water? Anything particular?
Well, it depends on when you've dug them up. But for the most part, if you leave some of the soil around the roots when you dig it up and put it in an appropriate size pot, and most all of us have pots sitting around that we bought something in once before. And the potting doesn't have to be precise and wonderful, but the plant needs to survive. And a pot, and if the soil is dry, give it a little water, but not so much that you're going to have a flood in your car.
Okay. We did have one of our listeners texting in asking a question about is it just plants or if they have a small tree. I'm assuming they probably have a couple of those in the backyard maybe that are going to grow up and maybe take up a little too much space. So they're trying to maybe uproot those. Is that something you guys would trade?
Uh-huh. So we separate those out as soon as people bring them in. So we have sections for small trees and shrubs. You know, we don't want anyone trying to dig up a humongous tree and bring it. That will not probably survive. But, you know, small trees and things like that, those are perfect. A lot of people will bring in house plants, you know, other perennial plants, anything that you have, bring it and get something else to take home.
All right. Well, this time of the year always gets me in the mood for farmers markets because you can find plants, vegetables, all the good stuff. Before we get into that, though, we did have one more question here. Is it too late to trim up a medium Japanese maple tree? Thank you and love the show.
Well,
we're talking about you guys.
Yeah. It is, you know, it depends. So pruning on a tree. So for me, if it is in the way, I'm going to prune it no matter what time of the year it is. If it's in my way, if it's, you know, shading out another plant that I love, I'm going to prune that limb off because it's in my way and I don't want it there anymore. So no, it is not too late ever, because if a branch is in your way, if it's hitting the house, if it's, you know, doing something wrong, then prune it off. But, you know, typically we like to say that you would want to prune basically earlier. So March is the best time frame. So it's getting a little bit hot, but it would still be fine to prune right now.
I think the secret there is how much are you going to prune?
Yes.
If you're going to lop off a branch that's in the way, that's no big deal. The plant or the Japanese maple can stand it. But if you're going to give it a major haircut, wait till fall.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the reasoning behind that? Is that just because it'll have...
The plant is growing strongly right now. And when it's dormant, it can survive a major trimming much easier.
Okay. Cool. All right, so we'll get into the farmer's market. That's one that you guys were mentioning, and I know this time of the year, I love the farmer's market. When does that start, and what are we in store for this year?
Yes, so our vendors are getting very excited, I'm sure, and so the farmer's market opening day is May 10th, so that is not this Friday, but next, and so you can come on out, and we will have lots of vendors there already with things to sell, so I'm sure everyone is excited about strawberries, so those are in season. A few of our farmers are already picking those, so come on out and get some fresh strawberries. We'll also have, I'm sure, tomatoes, things like that. So some earlier crops will be ready, but I mean, we won't have corn yet, so wait on that. But May 10th is opening day, and again, that's always open on Tuesdays and Fridays through the end of October, and so that starts at 7 a.m. and goes until noon, so it's a long time. And this is our weekday market, so we also have a Saturday market on the square. This market is called the Rutherford County Farmers Market, and it's held at Lane Agri Park, which is right down the street from Sam's at 315 John Rice Boulevard.
Cool. What kind of steps is in place for someone who wants to be in the farmers market? If they say, I want to, you know, maybe every other week or once a week or once a month, can they just show up? Do they got to sign up? How does that all play out?
They have to sign up. They have to come to our office and speak to one of our agents. And we actually do site visits to make sure that they are growing those goods. So the square market is different than this one. So I'm not sure about the rules that pertain to that. But this market, the Rutherford County Farmers Market, we go and make sure that they are producing that good. So we do not allow any resale, which means that they have to produce that. So it's called producer only. So we have to check that out. So they can't just show up with what they have and try to sell it. So we do have some other paperwork they have to fill out. So if someone is interested, they can call our office at 615-898-7710 and just talk to Anthony Tuggle, our county director, and talk to him about how to become a farmer's market vendor.
Excellent. Now, if they're just hearing this for the first time, they think, oh, crap, maybe it's too late. Is it too late, or can they get the ball rolling and then jump in kind of in while you guys were already going?
I believe they can still jump in. So we do take some daily vendors, seasonal vendors, which means that they're not there the entire time. So they're coming, you know, whenever they have something, they do have to call us in advance to say, hey, I'm coming, even after they filled out that paperwork, if they're not there all the time. So, you can still jump in if you have something that you're growing and you want to sell at the farmer's market. Come on out and talk to our agents.
Fantastic. We're talking with Rachel Painter, Nia Gordon, and Linda Stevens this morning about lawn and care and everything in between. If you want to give us a call, 615-893-1450 is the number to give us a call, or you could text us if you have any questions on that. Something else that's coming up right around the corner, it involves my other favorite place, the library.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
We have, this is the second year that the Lineball Library has allowed us to work with them in having free classes having to do with home gardening. It's all taught by Master Gardener classes. We're about halfway through the season right now. Saturday, what's that, 2 days from now, the class is on vegetable gardening. And we have a lot of people that are coming to those classes who have never gardened. Mm-hmm. And I did see the outline for this class this week, and it is for somebody who has never gardened, it is perfect because it's really basic, really elementary. Even she's put in a group of what she calls wow plants, things that grow extremely well that also are showy and interesting. So it's fun things.
So there's hope for us who maybe aren't the greatest gardeners yet. We can still learn.
People say I've got a black thumb or a brown thumb, and I disagree heartily with anybody who says that because they just don't know what they're doing. Everybody has learned something because they've paid attention and studied it. If you pay a little attention to what a plant needs, which is not really all that complicated with the soil and the water and the sunshine and a few trace nutrients, but you have to know what that particular plant wants. For example, you're not going to plant an oak tree in a flower pot. So all you have to do is pay attention, know a little bit about the plant, know what works, know what doesn't, watch it while it's growing, and if the leaves are turning yellow, you might have a problem. If it all of a sudden curls up and dies, you have a problem. And I think the problem is with the way you've been taking care of that plant. Not with the plant itself, usually. Could be bugs, who knows. But a little study can make anybody a successful gardener.
So for these classes, I was going to say all the gardening skills kind of stopped at my mother. And then she didn't really pass any down to me. For whatever reason, she kept them all. She can grow anything. I can barely grow grass. So these classes, do they cost? Is it a free thing at the library?
No, it's free. This is a gift from Master Gardeners of Rutherford County to the community. Our purpose in being is to encourage people to become home gardeners, and this just seems like a great way to do it.
Now, is this a class that might be beneficial if somebody is already into gardening and maybe they already can, you know,
yes,
can do a lot of it, but they maybe can learn something new?
I sit in on the classes because I kind of introduce the speaker and do that sort of thing, and there's not been one that I haven't learned something else that
Excellent.
I didn't know.
I'm sure there's new information coming out all the time.
There is, and the speakers are certified master gardeners, and they can answer an awful lot of questions, and they're happy to answer the questions. Plus, in the handout that they provide, there's references. So if they don't know the answer, first of all, we usually send them to the Lane Agricultural Center to find an expert who can answer the question, or there's references where they can look those answers up themselves.
Now, would somebody ask Linda Stevens, are you an expert on a lot of that, or do you take questions personally if you see somebody at the class, being the master gardener?
Oh, if the speaker, I mean, it's her show. Mm-hmm. If she is not knowing what the answer is, if I know, I'll help it step in.
Awesome. We're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we're still taking your phone calls, folks, 615-893-1450. We do have a couple more text messages that popped up, so we'll get to those when we come back. You're listening to News Radio WGNS, and we'll see you guys here in just a second.
We have now gotten a food truck. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. Our food truck has various items from the Demas's menu, from our Peter D's catering menu, from our new concept PDK, and we can combine it in any form or fashion. The food truck is available for rent, and it also can show up at any different events or outings. But it's set up here to be able to serve the people here anytime you want without having to go inside the restaurant. Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Gentlemen, when it comes to your health, there are numbers that every man needs to know. Do you know your numbers? I know mine. I went to Low T Center and they make it quick and easy to get all your levels checked. It's even covered by most health insurance. Have you been feeling tired and grumpy? Have you noticed a weight gain and loss of muscle mass? Then you need to get your levels checked. Low T Center's physicians specialize in men's health and are reinventing men's health care. Call 615-603-3542. That's 615-603-3542. Or go to lowtcenter.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Don't let fleas and ticks get the jump on your pet this spring. Here at Animal City, we carry a full range of supplies to keep your pets protected. Animal City is open 7 days a week. When you come see us, don't miss our underground level with all of our small animals, our adoptable cats, and so much more. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
If you've got an iPhone, we have an app for that. If you're an Android user, we have an app for that too. You can listen to us anywhere, on air and on demand.
WGNS.
We are News Radio WGNS. The Braves,
Hi,
MTSU, local sports.
Co-op.
Yeah, we got them. Your local sports connection is WGNS. AM, FM, online.
All right. We are back. And we're taking your calls, 615-893-1450, folks. It is the time of the year. We got to start working on those lawns, getting the gardens going, and maybe getting some of the bare spots on your lawn filled in. So we have the experts, the best in the biz, in studio with us right now. Rachel Painter, Nia Gordon, and the master gardener, Linda Stephens. How are you, ladies?
Fantastic.
Good. All right, ready for the second half?
Yes, we're
All
ready.
Right. So I kind of segued into the grass topic because we do have somebody wondering about bare spots on their lawn. I see there's commercials and this and that. Mm-hmm. What actually works? What do you recommend?
Well, if they do not have enough sunshine, nothing. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I need every single square inch of my garden to have all of, or my lawn to have all of this grass growing. But if you do not have enough sunshine, there are very few grasses that will grow with, you know, less than 4 hours of sun. So just look at what you have. Maybe you should be planting something else besides grass in that spot, you know? So, I mean, if it will not grow, why keep trying? So, try something else. But otherwise, you know, I don't know anything about this person's yard, but, you know, maybe there's not enough airflow, so maybe they need to aerate and then put down more seed. So I'm not sure what they've already tried previously because this is a text message, but they're welcome to call the extension office again at 615-898-7710, and we can, you know, have a conversation. What have you already tried? What's not working? What kind of grass do you already have? Maybe they have some particular kind of grass that doesn't run. So maybe if they have fescue, maybe they need to put down more seed. If they have Bermuda, it might run in there. But again, we need sunshine. So yeah, call the office and speak to an extension agent and we will help you get it figured out.
And that's a really cool thing. You guys take phone calls throughout the day. If somebody has a question like that, they can just give you a call.
Yes.
And are you the ladies that might be answering?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we're extension agents. And then we also have, like I mentioned earlier, Anthony Tuggle. He's an ag extension agent as well. And Mitchell Moat. He typically deals with most of our grass questions, although we can answer those too. But we do have some grass plots out front of our office. So Mitchell takes care of those. So you can come out there and see those. So if you maybe think, oh, I hate my kind of grass that I have, you can come out there and see what other options you might have available. So maybe you should seed something else.
Awesome. Now, this listener just fired back another text message, so you know they're on the edge of their seat.
Oh,
and
good.
And this is how you know it's 2019. They sent us a dog emoji. So
oh,
I think they mean
good.
That they have dogs.
Yes.
So the bare spots on the lawn when you have dogs, what can you do about that?
Artificial turf.
Artificial turf.
If your dog... There are not many answers for that, but yeah, there actually is some amazing artificial turf out there, and I didn't say that jokingly because it really is a good option because, you know, you can get that stuff to look like it is perfectly real these days. So even just putting some of that down, if that's the place that Fido wants to go, you know, every day, then you're not going to grow much. So, you know, urine has a lot of salt in it, so that kills plants. So there's no answer to that. There's no grass that's going to grow if he pees on it every single day.
Now, can you put this artificial turf in with, like, a regular lawn? So let's say, like, the back corner, because I know animals are weird, but they'll have their spots.
Mm-hmm.
Could you mix and match? So if you have, like, a regular lawn, but you want to put a little artificial mm-hmm. turf, like you said, where Fido goes,
yes.
That's possible.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. Cool. And you might notice, you know, certain times of the year. So here in Tennessee, we're in a transition zone, which means that we cannot grow any grass. Great. So we have cool season and warm season turfs. So, you know, in the cool season, your fescue is going to look amazing. In the warm season, your fescue is not going to look amazing. And vice versa with Bermuda grass. That's a warm season turf. So, you know, sometimes that artificial turf might be the only green spot in your yard, and you might notice that. But to me, instead of fighting trying to grow some grass all the time, and spending all that money, I would just invest in a little artificial turf area and have that for my dog.
Good deal. Well, this is the perfect time to have this conversation because it is the month of May and the Master Gardener May month.
Yes.
We're here. It is May.
It's
Talk
upon
about
us.
That a little bit. What is
yes.
going on?
So Master Gardener May month is just an opportunity for us to just share what the Master Gardener program means to our state. So across the state, Extension County offices have Master Gardeners, and they are volunteers to share horticulture information. So their mission is to educate their community about horticulture, and there's so much to learn and share. So in 2018, just our Rutherford County Master Gardeners volunteered a total of over 8,000 hours.
Wow.
So that is a lot of time that they volunteered and gave back to our community, and we put a value of that of over $200,000. So their time, we put, you know, a value on that time, and so over $200,000. So we didn't have to pay them to do that. They went out and they shared their passion with the community and just gave back. So that's an awesome way to do that, and you can join them also. So in October, we'll be taking applications for Master Gardeners here in Rutherford County for next year, and so you can become part of that. Across the state, the Master Gardeners, you know, we have over 2,000 Master Gardeners. We have 2,625 active Master Gardeners across the state of Tennessee. And so that's a lot of people that we manage. So extension agents are Master Gardener coordinators. They put on these trainings every year, and people can become a Master Gardener. So I'll ask Miss Linda, what has the Master Gardener program, how has it changed your life?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've always enjoyed gardening. So I can't say that, but I certainly am a better gardener than I was. And speaking of lawns, mm-hmm. I recently have dug up my entire lawn, all of it. It's all going to be plants and flowers. Mm-hmm. My yard is very shady, so I don't have to worry whether the grass is going to grow in the shade or not. I think the biggest thing about Master Gardeners is associating with other Master Gardeners, mm-hmm. because you learn so much from each other. Because just as I know nothing about lawns, obviously, because I don't even have one, there's things that I'm pretty good at, like growing iris and stuff like that. So we can share what we know. And that's the big plus of being a Master Gardener. People mm-hmm. say, why should I be a Master Gardener? I've got a garden and it works fine. Yeah, it does. But you're by yourself. You can't share information with others that way.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned, and we're speaking to the Master Gardener herself, so you can always learn more. You can always learn more. You mentioned that there is a new thing you've learned, straw bale gardening. Talk about that a little bit and what that's all about.
Okay, I learned this at one of our library classes that
Fantastic.
Was mentioned. My yard is all shade, which is important because I've got a lovely shade garden, but it's really hard to grow tomatoes in the shade.
Mm.
So I have went over to Martin's and I purchased 4 bales of straw. The orientation of these bales is to get the cut end up. I've spent so far a week, and I probably have another half a week to go, that I've been pouring water and fertilizer, and that the straw is hollow. It acts as a capillary, so it holds water, and right now there's bacteria developing in that straw. When I stick my finger in it, it's hot. Mm-hmm. So soon now, I'm going to be digging holes in the straw and putting my plants directly in there. I don't have to worry about diseases from last year's tomatoes being in there, because nothing's ever been planted there. The orientation of the bales is north to south, so it'll maximize the sunshine. I'm going to be building a trellis so that'll hold the tomatoes, and I also plan to plant some cucumbers in one of them. And I'm excited just to see how it works. Kirsten is the name of the author of this book, and it's really cleverly named Straw Bale Gardening. The library has a copy, and of course I got mine at Amazon.
Good deal. You mentioned the diseases from the tomatoes from the year before. Talk about that a little bit more. What is that all about?
Well, plants take different nutrients out of the soil, and because of the diseases that they attract and the insects they attract, they leave things in the area that they're still there next year when you plant the same thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, early on in my gardening experience, I had heard that you aren't supposed to plant the same thing in the same place. Well, I really like eggplants, tomatoes, and potatoes to grow. Guess what? They're all the same family. So because I was rotating those plants from one place to another, I was not rotating at all. And all of a sudden, I went from these big, beautiful plants to these puny little plants, and I couldn't figure out why that was. Huh. And that's just because they were the same family of plant.
Huh. You learn something new every day. I had no idea that that would make any kind of difference. I just kind of thought you'd plant it, stick it in the ground, give it enough water, and it would kind of grow each year. I thought it was kind of a reset process each year.
That's why we keep learning.
Yes, always always more to learn. We got a text message here. They're wondering about maybe, you know, he said he plants tomatoes, jalapenos right next to one another, and I've heard this before, but I don't know much about it as far as you know, growing like something spicy next to a tomato, or growing, you know, jalapenos is a good one. Can you kind of, I don't know what the right word would be, but make like a spicy tomato basically?
Yes.
By growing them next to one another.
Yes, if they cross-pollinate. So some plants will do that and some will not. It depends. But yes, a tomato could turn a little bit spicy by being next to that. You also just want to be careful. Sometimes things shouldn't be planted next to each other. So we talk about companion planting sometimes. So you can just simply Google UT publications and a page will come up, and you can type in any topic you want to in that search bar. So you might type in companion planting or just gardening, just, you know, as vague as you want to be. And some publications from actual research will come up. So not a mom blog, some actual research. And so that will come up, and you can look at what families are, you know, the same family like she was talking about. And so, you know, basically you can look at what are the different crop families, what should I be companion planting together, and then also about cross-pollination, so you can read about that there. But yes, that could happen, not guaranteed that it would, but it could. So, you know, maybe you want that to happen, I don't know. But that might be good, who knows. But yes, it could happen.
Like a mad scientist gardener,
yes,
trying to make,
yeah,
like a spicy tomato. That's
exactly
kind of a cool thing, though.
Yeah, trick your friends. Be like, this is a great tomato.
Are there any off the top of your heads that you would recommend definitely do not plant this next to this? Maybe because it'll suck all the nutrients out of the soil and this plant won't survive. Are there any that really don't mix that are just a no-brainer that you would say?
I have read that you don't want to plant your cucumbers in the same bed as your tomatoes. So there's some crop families that you do not want to put in the same, like if you have a raised bed, for instance. And most of the time that's because they're pulling a lot of the same nutrients. So you'd want to be careful with that. You don't want them competing. So look that up. But again, companion planting is what, you know, you might want to do. So you want to share about like the three sisters or any kind of companion planting?
The three sisters is the American Indians did, that they planted corn, which is tall. They planted pumpkins or squash, which crawled around, and beans, which climbed up the corn stalks in order to maximize the use of their space.
Okay.
And that's one. I know one year I planted basil around my tomatoes, mm-hmm. and that worked very yes. well. Mm-hmm. I've never done it again. I kind of wonder it with the cucurbit family. Mm-hmm. If we planted melons and squash together, being similar plants, if they would cross-pollinate, mm-hmm. and maybe you get some really sweet cucumbers and some kind of bland melons. I'm not sure if that would happen or not.
I think it does. Yeah, I've heard that.
Good deal. Well, if you guys have any questions, lawn and garden care, anything at all, give us a call, 615-893-1450, or you could shoot us a text. People are texting like crazy this morning. Must be lots of young folks out
yes.
there
Good.
Listening in. This guy's wondering, help. I have critters getting into my garden. Is there any way to keep them out? Any ideas? Maybe like, I'm sure he's talking about rabbits.
What kind of critters are we talking about?
He put critters. I'm assuming rabbits and little...
A fence is a good idea,
okay.
if it's a deer. and sometimes people will even put something over the top. So if you could, depending what you're growing, if it's something that's growing lower or something like that, if you could create some kind of net over a PVC pipe or something like that where it just would deter them from trying to get in there. Of course, as that plant grows, if it gets too tall, you would have to remove that at some point. But sometimes people will put, PVC pipe up and then lay something that the sun can still get through. So a net or some kind of...
A bird net type
of
thing.
Yeah, bird net is what you could Google to find that. But, something that would deter them, but something that you could also remove and something that the sun will still get through to your plant is ideal. But even if you just fenced off your entire garden area, we talked about the dog earlier, so sometimes that will deter animals. If you have them, mark the edges of your garden, so every day if you are taking your dog out to use the restroom, take them to the corner of your garden and kind of make a border around the outside. Some people say that helps. There's all kinds of home remedies, I guess, all to varying degrees of working or not. Some people find that they work and some don't. So you can try anything like that, but yeah, there's not much.
If you want to hear some, I don't know if it's nonsense or not, I hope she's not listening, but my son's mother-in-law was saying that human or pet hair will deter critters. And she cuts the family's hair, and so she's been collecting that and sprinkling it around her garden. I will be happy to hear what she finds out.
Any thought behind that as to why that might be, or?
It's the fact that they...
It smells like a human is just present, or, the animal, just like the animal using the restroom around the border of the garden, it just gives that scent. So animals have really strong senses of smell, obviously. So if they smell another animal or a human, then they might feel, like they have a predator in the area, so they would go somewhere else. So it's just trying to deter them and make them feel like someone else might be there. So that is why, but that's again just another home remedy. You can find those anywhere on the internet, and like I said, varying degrees of working or not. So some people find that it works. It just, I guess, depends on how brave your critter is that's trying to get in.
I assume they're talking rabbits and things like that, maybe deer, but as far as like bugs and insects, is that kind of in the same category? I mean, is there anything you can do, or is it kind of just cross your fingers and hope for the best?
Well, some insects are good, so we need pollinators in our garden or else we wouldn't have anything to eat. So you don't want to deter all insects by any means. So again, pollinators are good. There's also beneficial bugs that will eat the predator bugs that are there. So you don't want to deter all bugs, and you do not want to start squishing every bug you find in your garden before you know what it is. So if you are concerned, or if you see something happening and you don't know what it is, you can always bring us a sample. We'd be happy to look at it at the extension office. So how to do that? You simply take off whatever insect that is as easily as possible so you don't kill it, so we can look at it still. If it's squished, that's a really hard bug to look at.
Usually to pick a leaf with
the insect on it is easier. And then stick that in a Ziploc bag, just seal it up because we don't want it escaping in your car. And then bring it over to the extension office, again, at Lane Agri Park, 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. And an extension agent will look at that for you, help you identify that bug, and tell you, you know, this is a good bug, this is a bad bug, this is eating your plant, and then what to do about it.
Alrighty.
And actually, our plants, once they're established, they can tolerate a certain amount of bug activity. Mm-hmm. And those insects are providing food for somebody else, so you can get your blood pressure way up trying to get rid of all of them.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take a phone call, if you ladies don't mind.
Sure. And,
good morning, you're on with WGNS.
Good morning. I plant tomatoes every year, but last year my tomatoes were swarmed with snails, and I don't know what happened, but snails were just crawling up the vines. They were eating my tomatoes, but I took a box of table salt, and I just sprinkled the plants real good and on the ground, and I got rid of the problem. But what caused that? I mean, I've never had that to happen before, and what can I do in the future to prevent it? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Wow. Snails. First of all, if you're planting your tomatoes in the same place every year, that could be part of the problem, that they have found out where you plant your tomatoes, and so they just make a beeline for them. You can sprinkle... Well, let me see. A lot of people like to put a saucer with some beer by the plants, and the snails and the slugs will. I'm not sure if they just die happy on the beer or if they drown, but we'll leave that one go.
I like the first one.
Okay. And salt also. But you don't want the salt on your plants because that will kill the plants. Mm-hmm. Those are just a few ideas. Water, spraying the water on them. I think the snails and slugs do show up in damp places. So maybe that's the problem. If maybe the area where you're planting is too damp.
Mm-hmm. You can also just pick them off. So whenever you see them, you know, don't let them get to your tomato plant. Pick them off whenever you see them. Put them in something else where you can carry them off away from the site. Don't just pick them off and throw them directly on the ground. And then, like she said, maybe it's too damp. So something that could help is water the soil, not the plant. So a lot of people will spray down the tomato plant with water thinking they are watering it, but we all know, when you just take a second to think, that plants soak up water through their roots, not their leaves. So why are we watering the leaves? So make sure that you are watering the soil around your plant, not the tomato plant itself, and that way the plant can soak up the water through their roots. And then, you know, the simplest thing really is just to pick them off when you see them. I know that you don't want to stand out there and pick them off all day long, but pick off as many as you can, put them in a Ziploc bag and close it up and throw it in the trash. And then go out there tomorrow and do the same thing. And, you know, suddenly, oh, wow, we've decreased our slug population. So that's the simplest answer. And then, like she said, put a saucer of, you know, something out there to trap them in that would, you know, attract them. They're gonna fall in and suffocate, and so that's a good answer. And that way you can remove that too. So once all the slugs are in that saucer dead, you remove that saucer and change it out and put it back out there and see if there's more.
Awesome. Some great information this morning. We're going to take one final quick timeout, and when we come back, This next one is going to make us laugh, I promise. We got a listener with a personal story about the beer in the saucer in their garden, and I went through and read it, and it's going to be a good one. So we'll get to that right when we come back. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll see you guys in 60 seconds.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays from 1 to 4.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's our biggest grill event of the year. The best time to buy the latest grills from our exclusive lineup of premium brands like Weber, Traeger, and more. Get free assembly, free delivery, and free fuel on our top grills and accessories $3.99 and up. And don't miss our Neighborhood Barbecue Fest this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy great grilling demos and expert advice. Only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions. Propane tank not included.
I am Welby Torres, owner and lead tech at AirTech Automotive.
When a job well done is out of here and you see this customer's face lit up, you can't fake that. And that's satisfaction to me. What am I working for? To treat every car like I treat mine.
At ADP, we're designing a better way to work so you can achieve what you're working for. HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people. Learn more at design.adp.com.
Bazing and Elite Checking from First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives you more reasons to bank locally.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing gives cell phone protection.
Hi, honey. We're going to have fresh fish tonight. Whoops, my phone.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. This is Frieda Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
All right, folks, we are back. The final segment here. We're talking lawn and garden care with three of the experts. We have Nia Gordon, Rachel Painter, and of course, they're with the Lane Agri-Park. And then we have a master gardener, Linda Stevens. Now, I promised you guys a funny story. This isn't my personal story. I can't take credit for this, but one of our wonderful listeners just sent this in to us. And it's regards to the beer in the pan. It says, the beer in a shallow pan really does take care of the snails. However, funny story, when I put a shallow pan full of beer in my garden to protect my tomatoes, my little Yorkie would find it and would drink all the beer and come running up to me with a frothy face. Nothing quite so funny as a tipsy terrier, so I ended up using Seven's Dust. Now, what is the Seven's Dust?
Yeah, that is a pesticide, and it has a very low toxicity, so a lot of people are, you know, feel more okay about using Seven Dust, and it's been around for forever. So that is another option. But yes, funny story there.
I hope the Yorkie was 21. That's all. I hope the Yorkie was 21.
Yes, we do not promote underage drinking.
This listener is wondering, is it too late to move a 5-foot Japanese maple to another area?
I would wait until the fall. So like Linda said earlier, Japanese maple, it is a little bit late right now because they are trying to push out all of their energy from their root system. So basically trees go through this back and forth. And so in the springtime, they are pushing all of their energy up from the ground, from their roots to their leaves. And just think about it as they are putting all of their energy in and putting on these leaves and just pushing out through their branches. And they're growing very, very quickly right now. So this is prime time for them to be pushing out that energy, and that energy is flowing right underneath the bark layer. So basically, if you are digging up a plant right now, a tree that is already established in the ground, then you're disturbing it when it is trying to grow very quickly. So I would say no, I would not right now. It's a little bit late. Getting pretty hot outside. So I would wait until the fall. The fall is the best time actually to transplant trees and shrubs. So I would wait at least until, you know, September. Put it on your calendar.
All righty, good deal. We're going to take another phone call here. Good morning. You're on with WGNS.
Good morning. I would like to tell you that the Irish.
Good deal. So that's coming up. And it seems like this time of the year, there's lots of different places. They're selling flowers, going to flower shows, the farmer's market, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Let's start for somebody like myself who's just trying to get into gardening. What is something that is a surefire, it's hard to screw up kind of thing? Maybe something they can plant that, granted, you could probably, you know, mess up anything, but if you're just starting off and you're thinking...
Do you want flowers or do you want to eat it?
Something for like a garden to eat. Well, okay. We can do both.
Okay, well, you mentioned the jalapeno peppers. There's a lot of varieties of them. They love this area. They love the heat. They're prolific. I don't think I've ever killed a jalapeno pepper. And actually, I've got a variety I don't like to have my mouth set on fire. It's called an I Fooled You Jalapeno. It's got all the wonderful flavor of a jalapeno without the heat. Tomatoes, especially the cherry tomatoes, they can go in a pot. And you just need to give it a little boost of fertilizer every couple weeks, and they will reward you beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And then what about maybe something that's just fun to look at, just a flower or something like that?
We have a lot of native plants, coneflowers, black-eyed Susans, yarrows, the irises. They all will grow wonderfully in this area. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to have a perennial, we have a saying that the first year you put in a perennial, they sleep. The next year they creep, and then they leap, which means you're looking at 3 years before you have a really showy specimen. Things like petunias and marigolds that you can buy just the little seedlings at the big box stores or at a nursery. They do very well. And with those, you want to pay attention to, are you planting them in sun or shade?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We do have just a couple minutes here. If you guys would briefly touch on the Junior Gardener Camp and what that's all about and how you can get signed up.
Yes. So this year we are offering a Junior Gardener Camp. The Master Gardeners are planning that, and it is a wonderful schedule of hands-on activities. So we're going to have some beekeepers. We're going to have a young speaker that is actually going to show them how to hatch their own butterflies. So, very much hands-on camp. And so this is June 26th through the 28th. And it is just $50. So that is the cheapest summer camp you'll probably find around Murfreesboro. But it's only 3 days, and it's from 8 a.m. until noon each day. So we have the schedule jam-packed with fun activities and fun games that they're going to be playing and learning all about pollinators. So that is the theme of the camp, is pollinators. So we'll be talking about butterflies, bees, birds, even bats are pollinators. So we'll be sharing all about those and how they can promote pollinators. So they'll be planting some sunflowers at our office. They'll come back and see those later. They'll be getting fun bags from Farm Bureau. They've donated those for our camp. So, the whole ag community and Master Gardeners are coming together to host this camp. This is the first year we're doing this in quite some time. So we're excited to offer this again. And that's open to 4th through 6th graders. So rising 4th through 6th graders. And we only have room for 20 campers. So please go ahead and get in your applications. You can do that at our office. So just come by the extension office. There's applications right there on the front counter to fill those out right then and there. And pay your $50. So that's how you can reserve your spot, is the application and the money has to be in to reserve that kid's spot. You can also find the application on our website. So again, rutherford.tennessee.edu is our extension office website. And then you can click on the agriculture tab at the top, and that's where the Master Gardener page will be. And you can click on Junior Gardener Camp application.
Fantastic. And of course, the farmer's market coming up in just about a week, and the plant swap, that is May 11th. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Nia. And thank you, Linda. Learned a thing or two today. I learned a lot today. Hope everyone else did as well. And we look forward to seeing you guys next time.
Yes, thank you.
All righty.
Thank you. We'll be right back with The Truman Show.